listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Praise the Lord. Now give Jesus a hand clap. Amen. Well, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. It's good to be seen and not viewed. Somebody say amen. All right. Well, I got a little scared here when I was seeing the sermon series graphics and everything. I'm like, my God, am I supposed to preach on heartbeat this morning? Then it said starts next week, and I said, praise the Lord. Wouldn't have mattered anyway. You already, those of you, and you already know me, already knew what was going to happen. And that is, I was going to do what I wanted to regardless. Somebody say amen. Man, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Okay, see, there might be some new people here, Eric. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. You look good. Considering all you've been through. Hey. Now, if you haven't ever been able to have the opportunity and privilege, amen, to hear me preach, well, definitely, this is your first time here. I'm so sorry. Pastor Joe will be back from his hunting expedition, well, I'm sure with a new kill, amen, in a couple days. But he is out on an expedition, if you will, and we are praying for him and believing that the Lord's going to bless him in his endeavors. And he's not here, so I'm here, amen. And so we all know the old saying that while the cat's away, the mice will play. And so we're going to just preach however we want to this morning. Somebody say amen. I have been in Cleveland, Ohio for the last week. I preached 7 times in 5 days. Do you think that's enough? I'm sure. And to the same group of people, too. Can you imagine that? They're all still alive. There were no casualties. Somebody say amen. And we were able to make it through. And then we get here and... I think they were trying to exploit one of my small fears that I have as I am staying in, residing in, if you will. The Lord is good. Somebody say, God is good. I'm staying in the JW Marriott. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Holy smoke. That thing is so big. So my room is on the 22nd floor. Okay, that's a problem. One third of my room is a window. Okay, so I didn't really realize what was going on. I knew I was high because 22, I can count, right? I'm up and I get there, but it's all curtained off, right? So it's all the curtain. And so I thought, well, I just walked up to it and I went whoosh and almost died. I'm like, what is happening up here? And then, of course, I have a little card, and on the 23rd floor is the concierge lounge or whatever you say, right, where they give you bougie food and stuff. And so I thought, wow, well, my little, because you got to have a card to get in there, and boop, into 23, and I go up, and go up there, and I'm going to have breakfast, right? You know, well, I don't know, those of you who don't know, I'm from the South, right? So I'm looking for some biscuits and gravy. You know what I'm talking about? Some nasty, greasy bacon. You know what I'm talking about? It's where you pick it up, and it drips, amen? That's what I'm looking for. Some scrambled eggs from, not from the kind you pour out into the pan, that egg, that ain't an egg, okay, the kind that pops out of a chicken, not out of a carton, you know what I'm talking about, thinking I'm going to go in there and get me some of that, Blaine. Mm-mm. I walk in there and everybody's like, praise her, okay, I'm like, what in the world, I'm rolling up in there, Under Armour hat, Under Armour sweater, Under Armour pants, Under Armour shoes, Under Armour sock, okay, anyway, lots of Under Armour, just rolling in there, and then I started looking at all the food, I'm like, what is it, this looks like fish, raw salmon for breakfast, I'm like, the devil is a liar, I'm looking around going, Blaine, I'm like, where is the biscuits and gravy up in here, then I realized, you know, I'm at the bougie level, 23, they're little chickpeas. I don't even know what that even is. I didn't know chickens had peas. Then there was some raw other stuff, a bunch of raw stuff. I'm like, don't you got any grease? Some butter, some Crisco, anything? So I tried all that stuff. Then I wanted to get me some coffee. I'm like, look, I just need some vanilla creamer up in here. I go in quack. I'm a 5-pumper minimum, amen, on a small cup. If it's a big cup, it's a 10-pump. You know they didn't have no cream, they had milk. Then they had half and half. Half of what? I don't know. And then they had some little, in this little, like, little teacup thing. You know, you had to hold it with, like, two fingers because your whole hand, so it's like, So I became bougie all of a sudden, like, doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah, it was almost like torture. And then I sat on the little deal, like a little bar, and there is, you know, the rest of your life. All of Grand Rapids was there. It's very good. I stayed sick to my stomach the whole time I was eating my salmon and my... They didn't have no crackers. I'm like, you got any saltines? Nothing. But anyway, God is good. Amen? So if you want to come and enjoy my bouginess with me for one more night, I'll be there. Room 2214. Praise the Lord. And we can all eat the bougie cracker. They don't have crackers. Salmon together. They had wine and stuff for dinner. I ain't saying nothing. I know they did, though. Praise the Lord. I don't drink. Amen. Okay, so praise the Lord. You know, we got a Bible here. Do you got a Bible? If you got one, get it out. If you got your phone, whip it out and text how awesome it's been so far. And if you got a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 17. And Luke 17, you won't be needing that first scripture because I found out I don't need that. So you can cut that and go to Luke 17, amen. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And as it was that as they went, they were healed. And one of them," there were 10, "but one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Somebody say, where are they? Just look around, where are they? You might know somebody and want to say, where are they? Well, praise the Lord, it's going to get worse. Where there are not any found who return to give glory to God except this foreigner. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." Somebody say amen. I want to preach this morning a message. If I had to give a title, that would be entitled, "I've Been Healed, But Am I Whole?" A lot of people have been healed, but they have not been made whole. There's a difference between healing and wholeness. Somebody say amen. There's a difference between healing and wholeness. Now, this coming month, there's going to be a whole series on your heart and how your heart is. And anybody in here who knows somebody, or maybe you have had a heart attack or a heart problem, that even when you've had a heart attack, there you could be healed, but there is still what they call scar tissue. So in other words, even though you may not have any more heart problems, they can look at your heart and see that you have had heart problems before. Say amen. You can be healed and still possess scars from where you were healed. Amen. I had an appendix operation. Man, my appendix like blowed up when I was 30. You're supposed to have appendix problems when you're like 16, 17. I'm the only 30-year-old on earth who's having appendicitis. But I had a scar from it where I had appendicitis. I had a hernia. Still, I'm healed, amen, but I got a scar. See, a lot of the times in church, people get saved, amen, and healed and delivered. I'm not thirsty. Somebody say amen. But I also don't want to fall down. Somebody say glory to God. And so they're healed, but they're not whole. There's people in church that are saved, but they're not whole. People in church, you might be saved. In other words, you know what song to raise your hand on. Anybody in the room right here, you know where to raise your hand. You know what song to clap your hands on. Got a little beat because, you know, you've been to the club, so you know fast. Okay, maybe you haven't been, but you healed. And so, you know, okay, they're clapping their hands. So I'm okay. Yes, yes, yes. I'll clap my hands up. Good, good. Oh, good. Oh, a little gospel right there. How'd you like that, Ange? I did that for you. Praise him. Okay, so you know what to do. Because you know how saved folks are supposed to at least act. Nobody wants to say amen. Can somebody say amen? You know how you're supposed to act because at least you did get up this morning. You brushed your teeth. You combed your hair. You put on decent clothes anyway. Amen. I don't know what happened. You came on to church, and here you are. You probably are saved, but my question is not a matter of salvation, because if the only plan for you was to get to heaven, when you got saved, God would have killed you. I'm afraid to slap on this like a Pentecostal slap. I don't know if it's Pentecostal approved, but I want to slap that because that's good. That's good preaching, amen. Under Armour case, praise the Lord. Is this a commercial? Okay, anyway. Glory to God. So we've got these lepers. Now, you know a little bit about leprosy in the Bible. It wasn't good to be a leper. Matter of fact, it was so bad to be a leper that they created you a colony that you could only go there. You could only go to the leprosy-approved Walmart. You could only go to the leprosy-approved Starbucks. In other words, you could not associate with regular society if you had leprosy. Because in Jewish culture, to have leprosy meant one thing. You were unclean. And to be unclean was a no-no in that society. And because leprosy was something that you were to never be healed of, you were constantly with it, you were in a state of total uncleanliness. You could not associate with anybody. If you were married and then you came down with leprosy, your marriage was as good as over because you couldn't hang out with your wife or your husband if you were unclean. So you had a leprosy colony. Now you know what leprosy would do to you, don't you? Leprosy caused your finger to fall off. Amen. Cause your ear to fall off. Cause your nose to fall off. Say amen. Leprosy took from you. Leprosy would take away the things that you needed in order to function normally in society. So maybe it was good that you were in a leprosy colony because you had so much taken away from you, you couldn't even function in regular society because of the leprosy that you had. Now, if you are a normal person, do you think anybody in Jerusalem woke up one morning and said, you know what, where do you want to go today? You know, well, I was thinking about driving by the leprosy colony. Nobody did that because you didn't want to be around anybody that had leprosy. Have you ever known anybody in your life that you didn't want to be around? They didn't have leprosy, but they weren't that great to be around. Don't look at anybody. Look at the preacher. You don't got to look at your neighbor. Don't look straight ahead. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, here we've got Jesus, the Christ, the ultimate rabbi of rabbis. And the Bible says that he's passing by, and then it says he went to a village. Now, it doesn't say specifically what village he went to, but it's obvious the village that he went to, because in going there, he saw 10 lepers who were standing, the Bible said, afar off, because they were conditioned to never approach anybody. But here's a rabbi who knows all of the laws of the land, knows that he cannot really go by where they are. He knows he can't be unclean because he's Jesus. Somebody say amen. And yet they cry out and said, Jesus, we know who you are. Have mercy on us. And the Bible says he spoke a word, and it says that he said, now y'all go to the priest and show yourselves. Why did he ask them to go to the priest? Because it would be the priest that would allow them to participate in normal society, because he would see that the leprosy had been healed. And so the Bible says, as they were obedient to the word of Jesus, they begin to walk towards the priest. And the Bible says, as they walked, they were healed. See, if you want to get a complete healing, you better continue to go in the right direction. Somebody say amen. And at whose direction did they walk to? It was Jesus' direction. You want to know, Pastor Brian, I won't even look at nobody. Do you want to know why some folk that are sitting behind me right here ain't 100% healed? It's because they never totally followed the direction of the man of God. They doing their own thing. Oh, Dan Crow, I'm talking to somebody in this church. The reason your life is still jacked up is because you never continued to go towards the priest. Somebody say amen. I don't know why my life is so tore the heck up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beep. I don't know why. It's because you ain't doing it. See, it ain't rocket science, folks. We try to make our lives so hard and complicated, like you got some sort of complicated situation going on in your life. Your life ain't complicated when you obey the word. These dudes, if I may, they had leprosy. Their dude in the crowd ain't got no hand. Talking about, all right, I'm going to walk on to the priest. And as he walked, the Bible said he was healed. But just healed. So in other words, the leprosy stopped invading their life. But they still didn't have no ear. The leprosy was over, but no ear. The leprosy was done. So by the time they got to the priest could see that the leprosy was gone, but they didn't have no nose. See, that's why a lot of folks, after they come to church and get saved, they're healed, they're on their way to heaven, they know how to raise their hand, they know how to shout if you feel like shouting, amen, but you're still not whole, only healed. You still ain't got no ear. So how many of you know that you got saved, went back into the world, and people really didn't notice that much of a difference because your attitude was still the same? That's why I love preaching, amen. That's why some folks in here aren't that good of a witness on your job, because you know how to lift your hand at church, but you're really just doing this. You heal, but you still look the same. Oh, that's good preaching for an old white boy. Somebody say amen. See, they went, and so in other words, you can go out into society, but you still kind of look the same. I wish I had. See, I'm still waiting for somebody just to manifest on the Hammond B3 organ so I could give you some good old southern preaching with the organ so I could sing my whole sermon. Y'all don't think I can, but I promise you I can. Say amen. Look at your neighbor. Look at him and say, are you only healed? Ask him, are you only healed? Uh-huh. You don't have to say no more, because if you're sitting beside someone, that means you know them probably. And you know if they're whole or not. See, that's the problem in church. We got a lot of healed folk, but nobody is whole. See, 9, 10 of them got on the way. Okay, they're walking to the priest so that religion can say, you all right. See, religion don't mind you to be healed, but religion will never make you whole. If you look at, glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost. If you're looking for wholeness, you won't find it in religion. You're not going to find it in the taking of communion, though communion is good, and it's good to do, and it's good to celebrate the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Amen. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. It's good to take the blood of Jesus. It's good to know that the body has been broken for your healing, and he has been bruised for your iniquities. Amen. And the chastisement of his peace was upon you, and by his stripes you've been made healed. Amen. But I'm here to preach and tell somebody, religion and church don't mind you getting healed, but the world is looking not for healed people. The world is looking for whole people. People that have been made whole. So 10 of them, they're all 10 walking to the priest, if you don't mind. All 10 of them, they're just glad the leprosy's gone. But one of them did this. Well, I need to go back to Jesus. Oh, Lord. Amen. I said amen. He went back to Jesus, and Jesus said, wasn't there 10 of y'all? And he said, well, that's true. But one of them went back to Jesus and fell down on his face and said, oh, Jesus, ain't nobody like you. Ain't nobody beside you. Lord, I love you, Lord. I can't tell you anything about those 9 jokers who are walking towards religion. But I had to come back to you and say, Lord, if it had not been for you, I would not be healed. And Jesus looked at that guy who came back still not whole. He was healed, but not whole. And Jesus said, because you came back and praised me, because you came back and glorified me, because you came back and fell down on your face and said, none worthy but Jesus, I see your brokenness. I see your incompleteness. And Jesus said, because of your faith, you have been made whole. And now nobody ever knew that that man had leprosy. Ooh, I'm spitting all over myself. Glory. I'm trying not to come down here because I've been rebuked 1,000 times. Don't come down here because you get off the camera. Lord, because I want to come down and slap up folks. Somebody say amen. I want to put my hands on somebody and be like, in the name of Jesus, pow, in Jesus' name, slap some oil on you. Glory to God. Get crazy up in here. I might do that second service. So stay tuned for part 2. See, the world ain't looking to see if you got saved. They don't even know what that means. But they do know what this means. That's a change people can see. See, I found out the folk, okay, I'm going to preach a little bit. What time is it? Amen. It's 9:53. If you're taking medicine, somebody say glory. Oh, it's back there. Is that the count backwards clock? What? I got 37 minutes. I need to slow down. Whew, let me take a breath here. Glory to God. I got 37 minutes. It's not going to take me that long, I don't think. Amen. But I'll make up stuff in between my sermon, and then I'll take up that 37 minutes. See, I found out, Ed, Sheila, healed people, saved folks, still get offended. My own organ. Whole folk don't get offended. I wanted to see everybody, you know. I wanted to look people in the eye, David. You know what I'm talking about? Want to look them in the eye. Whole people. People that are whole don't. I had to come down here. Getting ready to get real, amen. And it's hard for me to be real when I'm being blinded, amen. So whole people don't get offended. You know, and you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been offended? But you wasn't whole then. But you are coming into, if I may, you're coming into a season of wholeness now where you're able to stand up and say, well, say whatever you need to say, I'm whole. Whole people don't have to be played with patty cake, baker's man. And I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And I don't want anybody to get offended. Because anytime I hear about it, I want to go in the corner and I'm afraid. And I need to say, whole people don't need a safe place. Because when you got the Holy Ghost and you've been made whole, you can stand with your shoulders square back, look the devil in the eye, and anybody else for that matter, and say, you can't do nothing to me. I've been made whole. Whole people don't get offended. Well, Pastor Joan never. Well, shut up. Get whole. Somebody say amen. Touch your neighbor and say, you need to be whole. Be whole. Be whole. Be whole. Be made whole. Does anybody know what I'm preaching about? Be made whole. Amen. I had to come out. You know really why I came all the way out here? I want to make sure the microphone was on. Amen, because Lord knows I don't know up there because there ain't no monitors ever. Praise him. I've only asked for that 552,000 times. You see one? No. But I've been made whole, so I came on down here to preach so I can hear myself. High five. Hold hands there. You've been made whole. Amen. Whole folk. See, religion don't care if you come to church, go through the motions, lift up your hand, and still are mean to the waitress after church when we go to P.F. Chang's. Oh, glory. I switched it up on y'all because I don't want to go to Applebee's. Somebody say amen. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on now. I don't want to go to Applebee's because I'm afraid I won't be whole. Amen. But P.F. Chang's, I feel the Holy Ghost. Dave, I already know what I'm going to get, too. Come on, somebody. Got the fried green beans. Thank you, Jesus. And the fried rice combo with the chicken, shrimp, and the pork in it. Glory to God, all three. That's the Trinity right there in the rice. Glory to God. I told you I'd take up that 37 minutes. Glory to God. Amen. Go through the motions. Where you can do all the extra stuff and say hallelujah and praise the Lord and preacher, glory to God, but still not right. If you were to die, you would probably go to heaven. I said, you heard what I said. Did you hear what I said? Look at your neighbor and say, probably, amen. I'm not the Lord, so because if I was the Lord, you probably wouldn't say amen. But I'm not Jesus. Somebody say amen. But the Lord is looking for whole people. Now notice, when Jesus healed or made the man whole, he did not tell him to show himself to the priest. Y'all, I got two people in here that even are smelling what I'm stepping in. Amen. When you have been made whole, religion is irrelevant. Religion is irrelevant when you've been made whole. You ain't got to, when you have been made whole, and when you now are able to go out into the highways and byways, and people can see there's something different about that boy. Because he's been made whole. Brian had the privilege and honor, had the opportunity to run around with me yesterday. I drove, thank you very much, because I'm afraid that he's been hanging out with Pastor Joe too much. Who in here has ever been in the car with Pastor Joe? This is something I bring up every single time. Anybody? Okay, Blaine, you know, you're a military guy, right? You know, you play with things that can blow people up, amen, and it's fun for you, and now you just go out shooting for the heck of it, right? You could do anything. But were you scared to death when you were riding with Pastor Joe? Did you pray and intercede? Yes, you did. Amen. I know you did. You ain't got to lie. You got to be made whole to ride with him. I found out I wasn't as whole as I thought when the car was on two wheels going outside the ramp, and I said everything else but Jesus, amen. So I drove. And while we were driving, we found out that I know people everywhere. Did we not find that out? We went into the Lindor store. You know, the chocolate store with the little round chocolates and the little wrapper. That's the good stuff right there. Don't be bringing me no Hershey bar. Say amen. Don't bring me that Walmart chocolate. No, I don't want that. Give me the chocolate that costs $75. No, $25 for 75 little balls. But you know what? If you get 150, you can get it for 35. Hey, man, and that's what I did. And she's like, oh, my gosh. She goes, hey, good to see you. I say, good to see you, Amy. How are you doing? This is the woman who works there. Because she remembered when I was there last time, I bought 300. Do you remember that? And we were talking and laughing like, oh, who's this girl trying to wait on me? She gave me one sample. What's wrong with her? Get her out of my face. What's your name, Bethany? Go away. Amen. And we're just cutting up and having a good time. Pastor Brian, he's just like, I don't know him. He's like back at every time I look back, he's further back in the store. I'm like, dude, he's with me. Amen. He's one with me. He's going to handle all my light work if you don't give me more samples. Amen. And I told the guy, that this one dude, he's like all intimidated, like all backwards and all just shy, probably needed a safe place from me, amen. And I was like, hey, dude, this one's already opened right here. And he goes, I said, no, I'll take that. Amen, that looks like a sample. Somebody say amen. I might have opened it. No, I'm joking. Maybe. So we knew then, they're like, my gosh. And then she says, I remember because you gave a whole 75 chocolates to a little family. I said, that's true. I did do that, didn't I? Because it's buy three bags, get two free. Sound like a good deal. And there was a little family in there, a woman and her daughter, I think. And they were like, they were there. They wanted around chocolates. You know what I'm talking about? And there's like 452 different flavors of the little things. And they're going through there, okay, should we get this one? Or maybe we should get, you know, they like getting a five pack. I'm like, five pack? I got 300 over here. I'm just handing, you know, handfuls of purpose. I've been made whole. Hey, man, I'm just getting everything. I got two hands. Glory to God. And the little woman over there like, oh, we'll take one. We'll take. I said, ma'am. I said, you're making me nervous. Would you like this whole bag? I'll empty it and you pick it. I said, dude, take this bag. I gave them a whole bag because it was free. It wasn't like I was sacrificing anything. But I gave them. She was like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. I said, Brian, isn't it awesome to see how God works? Isn't this fun? Because people can see that there's something different about me. And that difference makes me where people want to be around me. Amen. They don't know why they want to be around me, but they can't help themselves. Because, you know, if you're around me long enough, I will address the fact that you're only healed and not whole. Be around me for about 5 minutes, and after all the pleasantries, and after you get done with all the southern accent, and after you get done with all the praise the Lord, I'm going to be talking about you need to be made whole. Because wait, look, let's be honest. If a former leper came in here but still had no nose, you would try to look him in the eye, but you'd be like, that nose though. Am I right about that? You'd be like, that ear though, dude, your ear though jacked up, look like you've been in a fight with Mike Tyson. Somebody say glory. You want to be able to be normal around people that have been healed, but in order to be able to function and do what God has called you to do and complete the purpose that God has called you to complete, you must be made whole, because it's very difficult to do what the Lord called you to do when you got things missing in your life. Man, this is good preaching. I'm not lying to you. I'm making it up as I go. Glory to God. Then we jump to the perfume store, or whatever it's called, and there's a bunch of Ukrainians in there. Have you ever been there? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? The Tanger Outlets, the perfume shop? Fragrance. Oh, excuse me, the fragrance shop. We roll into the fragrance shop, and all three of the women's like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm doing good. You remember me? Yes, you bought like four things last time. That's true. Because everybody that's around me, I like them to smell good. And so to make sure it happens, I have to buy them cologne. Oh, yeah. That's my cologne. Amen. I like people to be healed and whole. Come on, girl. You know what I'm talking about. Don't want no stinky Christians. I want you to smell good. So we go in there, and I'm looking around trying to think, well, I didn't really need anything because I have a cologne problem. If you ever want to bless me, give me a gift card for a cologne. Don't buy the cologne. I want to buy my own. All right. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, and I go in there, and I'm like, man, this is looking good here. What about this? She goes, the newest, and talking in the accent, which I won't try to do, which would be hilarious if I did, but I won't. So she said, man, the most popular one is this new Mercedes cologne. I'm like, man, that can't be good. You know, they got all, you know, there's cheap, you know, Walmart, Porsche. Just because it's an expensive car don't make it good cologne. Somebody say, glory to God. But I took a whiff of that, and I was like, woo, I feel Jesus. Amen. I can imagine me walking into a room smelling like that. And I look at it, and I said, how much does that cost? And she picks the box up and shows me the price. It's $89. But if you're a good cologne man, that ain't nothing to you. Give me five, girl. I know I've been shopping with you before. I know what you're talking about. Amen. 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 I was like, $89? I said, well, that's all right. But what is it for me? And she goes, oh, for you, 42. I said, ain't it good to be whole? Somebody say amen. And I got me a $42 thing, a Mercedes cologne. I'm not wearing it, though, because I left it in the truck, and it would have been like throwing ice on me, so I didn't even do that. But I got my other cologne on, and I'm smelling good. I've been made whole. Because, see, people know the difference between healing and wholeness. You come into the church, it's easy to fake it because everybody else is faking it, too. Amen. They're healed. Know what to do, but not whole. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to wrap this thing up here real quick. The woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says she had that problem for 12 years. She was trying to get it right for 12 years. The Bible says she spent all of her money. She used up every doctor she could find, and she had an issue of blood. In other words, let me break it down to you like this. She was unclean all the time for 12 years. She was married but couldn't be with her husband. Children but couldn't be with them. Matter of fact, if you came into the house of the woman that was unclean, which you probably wouldn't because you wouldn't want to go through the hassle of all the ceremonial things of being clean again. If you sat on the couch where she sat, you would be unclean. She was confined to her home because of the ceremonial laws. She was not well, then she heard of a man named Jesus. And she said, the Bible says she said to herself, if I can just get to Jesus. Amen. And the Bible says she got out in the midst of the crowd breaking every law. But how many of you know when you get desperate for God, you won't care what anybody else thinks when you really get serious about getting right with God? You won't care what anybody thinks. And you'll be like, I know I'm unclean. And the Bible says she had to press through the crowd. So in other words, she's pressing through the crowd. Now you unclean, pressing. Now you ain't right, pressing. Now you ain't right, pressing. Now you, but I don't care if I get everybody else wrong, I'm getting to Jesus. I'm getting to Jesus. I'm getting to Jesus. She just showed up like it's a miracle. Happens to me every time. She said, I'm getting to Jesus. The Bible says that finally she got to Jesus and she got down and fell out and touched the hem of his garment. I mean, she touched the very bottom of his robe. And the Bible says when she touched the bottom of his robe that Jesus was walking through the crowd and said, wait 1 minute. And stopped and said, who touched me? Peter, because he knows everything. Y'all know the Apostle Peter. He knows all of it. He like, Lord, what in the world is wrong with you? Everybody be done touching you. And you talking about somebody touched me. Everybody touching you. You talking about somebody touched you. You know Peter. Good Lord. He be cutting people's ears off and stuff. And Jesus looked at him and said, dude, I know when somebody touches me with a purpose. See, there's a difference between being around Jesus and being around the presence of God. But when you come into church with a purpose, you can get a touch while everybody else looks like a cow looking at a new fence and a frog sitting on a log. But there's somebody there with the hands raised, hearing the same music, hearing the same song, but they got tears flowing down their eyes while they're touching Jesus with a purpose. The Bible said the moment she touched him, she was made. She was healed. The moment she touched the hem of his garment, boom, the issue of blood was gone. But she wasn't whole. Jesus turned around, said, "Who was it?" Looks down, there she is again, another person at the feet of Jesus. Jesus looked at her, knowing what she'd been through to get there, and said, "Honey, your faith has made you whole." What did that mean? Oh, that meant a lot. That meant the Holy Ghost began to travel through that city and change the minds of everybody who had been infected by her. Everybody that thought she was unclean, their mind changed supernaturally. Everything that happened because of her illness in her family was healed supernaturally. Everything, because see, when you get made whole, it'll change everything around you. You'll no longer need the accolades of men. You'll no longer need the attaboys of people. You will be made whole. And when you are whole, you won't be offended. When you are whole, you won't get mad and upset. When you are whole, you will be a man or a woman of God that's able to do the things that God has called you to do, and your ability to grow in God will be limitless. When you're whole, the reason that a person can't fulfill their destiny in God, and you always feel like that you get so far and then you don't go any further and you keep going a little bit, you've been approved by religion, but you found out religion don't help nobody. Religion never helps anybody. It never makes anybody whole. But when you get made whole by falling continually at the feet of the one who saved you, the feet of the one who healed you, when you have been made whole, you won't have to ask questions to anybody. You will know who you are in Christ Jesus. I've come to preach and tell somebody I don't ever have to ask nobody anything about nothing. Somebody say amen, because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. I can wear Monopoly socks and don't got to ask nobody. Look, he's in prison. He went to jail. Somebody say amen. It's like some of y'all. My socks are an illustration. Somebody say amen. Healed, but still locked up. And come on now, girl. You know I can preach on anything. Don't worry about me, girl. Just relax. How many of you know? Healed. But you need to be made whole. Healed. But you're still sensitive. Don't look at nobody, please. Especially, don't look at your wife, husband. Look straight. Look straight. I said look straight, you're going to get punched. Now that you're looking straight, she's wondering, why are you looking straight? So you can't, you know you can't win now because I done messed up and called us all out. Why are you looking so straight right now? What, look over here at me, baby. No, I'm going to look straight. Why are you looking straight? You know why. Be made whole. How many of you would be honest right now? If all the music can come up, we got 15 minutes right now. If the instruments... I know. Thank you for letting him know that he's one of the musicians. Thank you, honey. Amen. Thank you. Wait, she's like, he's talking to you. Get up there. My God. We'll sing that one song about Jesus. Where's Ange at? What? You ain't got to yell. Be made whole. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm coming. Jesus is everything. It was the song before communion. That's all I know. I don't know the words. And you're going to be lucky. I might try to sing. Glory to God. How many of you would be honest and say, I know I'm here. I'm going to go to heaven. You know what I'm talking about? You're to die. You're going to go to heaven. You know that and all that good stuff. But you have areas in your life where you know what you could say. I am kind of easily offended, if I'd be honest. I do need the approval of people. That's a wholeness problem. Am I right about it? Well, you're always trying to seek approval. And if you don't get the approval that you were seeking, then you feel like you wasn't good at what you were doing. Well, you're good all the time. You just didn't get noticed. Being noticed at something doesn't mean that you're good or bad. A lot of the times, and there's men in here right now, men, you're in a performance mentality. You're always trying to perform. Why are you always trying to perform? Because you had a father or a scenario where, let's say if you were an athlete, you know, and you would make 5 touchdowns in one game, but you fumbled it once, that the only time that the person said anything to you is when you fumbled it. They didn't acknowledge the fact that you made 5 touchdowns. They only acknowledge the fact that you fumbled, and now you're trying to perform for everybody because you want them to see the touchdown and cover up the fumble. That produces a performance mentality. You are not whole. Somebody say amen. And so we could go on and I could list a gazillion different things where I know the people in church, they look nice, they got their hands raised, but they're not whole. Because you leaning on somebody, well, if I just get that right man, I'll be made whole. Wrong. Couldn't help myself. Well, if I get that, I'm single, ready to mingle, looking for that man that's gonna make me whole. There ain't no man gonna make you whole. You got to get whole first. Did you know the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing? How are you gonna find a wife? That means she married. Adam, I wish people would read the Bible. I really do, Adam. I wish they'd read the Bible. I said, I wish they'd read the Bible. That makes sense, wouldn't it? The Bible says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. Well, how are you going to find, if they have a wife, that means they're married. Y'all ever read the Bible before? Amen. Somebody say amen. If you said Joel Osteen, he'd let you know, this is my Bible. It is who I say. So that means that if you find a wife, that means she already married. So what that means is that she's married to Jesus. So if you find a woman that's already married to Jesus, then you have found a good thing. Woo! I've been married 20 years to a good thing. Somebody say amen. My Lord, I got to get to the house. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor P, I know what you're preaching about. I need to be made whole. Raise your hand. Don't lie, tell the truth. There's areas that need wholeness. You're saved. It's so, see, we're not even talking about that. We're not talking about are you saved and on your way to heaven. I'm talking about are you happy while you're on your way? Do you feel good about your walk? Or are you worried about what other people think about other things in your life? Are you whole? A lot of people have been left this church because they got offended. Well, hey, anybody who left because of that, guess what? They weren't whole. I don't know. Y'all working back there in the back doing the sound? You know what I'm talking about? Got to be whole.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.